Welcome to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast, sponsored by Moda Fabrics, Baby Lock, and the Electric Quilt Company. We have a terrific show filled with tips and tricks for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I am Pat Sloan. Today on the show, I have four guests, and each one is taking a whole different lean of what we're going to talk about. First up, I just love textured fabric, just love textured fabric. And Teresa Coates is an educator for Shannon Fabrics. And so I convinced Teresa to come on and tell us a bit about what she does with Shannon and about how to work with all this fabric. So Teresa, thank you.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
So how did you end up at working with Shannon Fabrics? Because you've been in the industry and you've done a lot of different things.
I have. So I've sewn my whole entire life. And I was always sort of a closet sewer, and I didn't realize that other people did it.
Oh.
And I was by myself.
Wow.
And then I saw a Craigslist ad after I'd graduated college, and I was looking for a job doing magazine editing or editing of some sort. And they had asked for somebody who had knowledge of English and editing and that sort of thing, and also sewing knowledge. And it was the first time I realized that you could have a career doing this, which was kind of awesome. So I started working for Fab Shop News, and that's where I started. And yes, I've worked for small shops and big shops. I've worked for a couple of manufacturers now, and I ended up on this job about 6 months before, or maybe about a year before Fabric Depot went under, and that's where I came from, was Fabric Depot.
I think that's where I first met you when you were coming to the show, probably with them.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me what Shannon Fabrics is, because is it entirely textured fabric? Is that their only type of fabric they do?
They do, I like to tell people, they do the weird fabric. So we don't do quilting cotton. So they sell a whole bunch of different stuff, mostly known for the cuddle, which is a kind of minky, but they also make terry cloth, waffle, satin, faux fur, faux suede, and luxe cuddle, which is a longer. And then we also do make a cotton double gauze. So it's all not necessarily quilting fabrics, but can be used in quilting and for sewing in general.
Yeah, I was looking at the website, and the scroll bar at the top, there was these amazing little jackets done with some of the more furry kind of, like, they weren't really
Fur,
but they're gorgeous. It's like...
That's the luxe cuddle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's just long cuddle, and it's really great because it's machine washable and easy to work with, but sort of has, like you said, a faux fur look. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one looked a little bit like mink, so it's like, yeah, and I've sworn off of doing clothing because I just mostly I'm not very good at it.
We all have to have our thing. Yes.
So tell me why you personally like textured fabric, because you were telling me that this is something you've always loved.
I do. I really like the challenge of it. So I started working with more textured stuff. I've always done like a myriad of sewing, types of sewing, but I started working with more textures maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I was sewing for Luke Haynes. And if you're familiar with his stuff, he mixes a whole lot of different substrates together. So he would just send me a box of fabric and say, cut these out and sew them together. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I have to figure out how to sew together satin with, you know, terry cloth, with canvas, with all of these different things. And so it was a really great way for me to figure this out. And so then I just sort of taken it from there, and basically, I'll try to sew anything out of weird fabrics to see if it'll work and how I can make it work.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what quilters use Shannon fabric for. Because one of the things I like is that on the blog, both yours and on the Shannon company, you show incorporating it into quilts, not necessarily just as backing.
Right. So you can totally use it for backing, and it's beautiful. And then the company also makes a whole ton of different kits that you can just make strip quilts, which are basically done quilts as you go, but we have a few different techniques because it's a different kind of fabric. But then you can also just mix it in with different stuff. Last year I took Violet Craft Wolf Abstraction, and I made that out of Luxe Cuddle, which is amazing. Yeah, yes. It was super fuzzy and yummy to touch. And that was a real challenge and wonderful because I just mixed quilting cottons with the Luxe Cuddle.
So what are some tips for working with this? Because it is thicker. It does, it's fluffy. You know, you can't, you know, how do you press it? Give me a few things, Teresa.
So it is a little bit different. It's a knit fabric, and so that's really the thing that makes it different. Plus, it has a pile. So you have a couple of issues in that it stretches and it's messy. So the biggest thing that you can do that I recommend, because the mess can be overwhelming to people, is that when you cut it, do all of your cutting at the beginning, and then I just take a wet washcloth and I clean down my cutting board and I throw all of that right into the dryer. I let it tumble around on a low heat or no heat for about 10 minutes with the wet washcloth. That's really important. And then once you take it out, all of that fuzz will be in your lint trap. Then it's just easy enough to sew. Yeah, it's like a little miracle.
That is a miracle. Oh, my gosh. That is, you know, because it's that sort of linty stuff that we just don't, we cotton-only people don't know what to do with. We're like, ah.
Right. I like to call it cuddle dust. So, yeah, it gets everywhere. It's messy. But if you can take care of that at the beginning, the rest of it is pretty easy to figure out how to sew it. You do a little bit more pinning, use a walking foot, that sort of thing. There's a ton of tips on the Shannon Fabrics website, and I have a bunch of stuff on mine as well.
So if you're going to patch it in with regular cottons, is there something important that we need to know?
Pin it like crazy. So that's what you do. And then I just use a bigger seam allowance. So when I did the pattern with violets, I just extended that seam allowance. So it's a little bit bigger because a half inch is easier to sew. And if I don't catch one side, I will. I would like, I won't miss one side more. If I have a quarter inch seam allowance, it's easy to you know, lose the back side. So I just extend it a little bit, make it a wider seam allowance. And that allows me some flexibility there. Plus the seams will lay flatter, which is a kind of an interesting thing because it's knit.
Now, when you did the wolf, that is a foundation paper piece pattern, right? Yeah. So did you approach it the same way with this fabric?
I tried. And then that didn't work very well. So what I ended up doing was I traced all of her patterns onto just Pellon interfacing, the SF-101. I traced it all on there, and then I ironed that to the back of the cuddle, which you can actually iron on it. Totally fine. And I ironed that on and then cut out my seam allowances and pieced it together like that. Yeah.
The other fun kits that are out there are those sort of big children's mats. They're like a penguin and giraffe, and those are they stuffed?
They actually use three layers of batting, and so normally in those we use a high-loft batting, and that'll give it an extra little fluffiness to it. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So, Teresa, what are you personally – you're also an artist, you know, yourself. So what do you do when you – you do a lot of travel for Shannon. Are you out teaching just the working with these fabrics for Shannon when you go out to teach?
Primarily that's what I'm doing. Stores – I'm generally teaching in stores. Or I'm teaching at events, and then I'm coming in and I teach consumers how to sew with these fabrics. I do speak at quilt guilds occasionally on my own art, but primarily I travel with the company. Yeah.
Right. And I know you were out with the Fat Quarter Shop and you did some videos with them, so.
I did. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So were those with the strip kits, you know, mostly?
We did, actually, I think we did 9 or 10 videos together, and we did them with the strip quilt. We did them how to bind with the minky fabrics, how to do an embrace scarf, a whole bunch of different stuff. Yeah. How to get accurate information out there. I can only teach so many classes, so this was a better way of getting it out to the masses. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will link to those and also the website and everything. So with your own art, you showed me an absolutely gorgeous piece with angel wings. Tell me about that. Mm-hmm. That's your personal art.
It is. So that's the Ascension quilt. And I made that last year with my partner, who is an illustrator, an artist. And so he had painted wings on his wall that were very, very similar to those. And I had really liked it. And so he painted this big mural on his bedroom wall, and I said, do you think we could work together somehow and see if we can combine? And so we took his wing art, and he drew new patterns for it, and then we worked together to create that quilt. And it was just, it was an amazing experience to try to bring together his knowledge and understanding of color and painting and all of that into my world of quilting. And we sort of got to overlap and both learn from each other, from each other's art. It was a wonderful experience. And then it got to show in a couple of different events where we have people come and they get to stand on this little step stool and stand in front of the wings and be angelic. It was really wonderful.
So when you were piecing that, is it appliqué? Is it more collage style?
So the back of it is all pieced. There's like three large pieces of cotton. And then the front, the wings are actually individually sewn feathers that then we applique onto the backing.
It is just gorgeous. The colors are beautiful. Are they similar to his artwork, the colors?
Exactly. Okay. So he had painted it all in the grays and the silver, which is like, then we had him paint. He did airbrushing, silver spots on it, and we actually used his old favorite jeans for the top of the wing so that it's sort of fluffy around the edges. So they're actually his patched-up jeans.
Oh, Teresa, it's just amazing. What a cool, cool project.
Thank you.
So do you sew at all when you're on travel? Do you take a little machine with you?
I do. I actually bought a little featherweight just for that. Because sometimes I'm on the road for 2 weeks and I can't go 2 weeks without sewing.
Right.
So I got this little featherweight, and then I actually buy little kits is what I do. And then I take them on the road with me. I do all of my cotton sewing basically while I'm on the road. So I go back to the hotel and I can do some little piecing, and it sort of gets the, it calms me down. It's my little Zen project. And then I make little quilts while I'm out. I made my parents' anniversary quilt in four different states.
That's
I just worked on it along the way.
Well, Teresa, this has been so much fun and so informational. I just have to work with this more. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm always happy to help.
You can visit Teresa herself for her website, teresacoats.com, and visit shannonfabrics.com and learn all about their products and how to use them with even more tips. And I will link over to the videos Teresa did. We'll be right back.
Layer cakes, jelly rolls, honey buns, and turnovers. Oh my! Inspiration for your favorite Moda Fabrics pre-cuts are just a click away at the Moda Bake Shop. Search the vast catalog of free patterns by project type or by pre-cut. The Bake Shop chefs are also cooking up fun all year long to celebrate the Bake Shop's 10th anniversary with quilt-alongs, giveaways, challenges, and sewing tips. Visit modabakeshop.com for all the fun.
Want to design your own quilts? Now you can with Electric Quilt 8 software. Design quilts, blocks, and import your favorite fabrics. Or use any of the thousands of designs in the library. Podcast listeners, take 20% off your purchase through May 31st, 2019 with code PODEQ8. That's PODEQ8. Get more info at electricquilt.com/APQ.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I am so delighted, just so delighted to be interviewing next Bill Locke from Studio Bill. It sounds like a TV show, I think. So, Bill, thanks for being here. You know, I think you need to have that. You need to have a Studio Bill TV show. What do you say?
Oh, I think that's a great idea. So maybe that's the next thing I need to look into. I need to live until I'm 500 anyway, so we'll just add on a few years.
So Bill is a fabulous designer, and you probably have seen his work if you don't own it already. And I'm just, you know, Bill, it was so fun to chat with you at the trade show recently. You know, how often do you travel?
The last year or two, I've traveled a little less because I opened, you know, I had a brick and mortar shop, which I actually closed last May to be able to concentrate more on the design part of my business and my retail online. But I try to get to the quilt market at least once a year. And in recent years, I've been going twice. I just think I need that for my inspiration and for my getting to meet the customer.
Yeah, yeah, that's the same way with me. I just like to be there and see what's going on. You know, when did you actually start sewing? Have you sewn all your life?
I started sewing in 1992. Of course, I started sewing when I was 10, so we won't talk about age. And it all started when I bought my first home, and I needed to get out and about and do some things, just to have a fun pastime. And I discovered a quilt shop that was not too far from where I lived. And I went in and discovered they were having a class. And the class was actually your comb flower pattern. This is so funny because I feel so great today. It's gone full circle. I started with your comb flower pattern. And here I am talking to you today. And you got me. So you were my initiation into all of this quilting stuff.
Oh, that's so fun that you started with an applique project, too, rather than, and you do you do gorgeous applique designs.
I do a lot of applique now. It's just funny that that was my first one. That's not normally what you would do for a beginner class, but
a lot of people start with patchwork, but I'm just so grateful that you found that class. That is just so cool. Now you are a designer. I mean, you have a lot of design background because your first life, I would say, before you quilted, you were in the design field. How did you make a transition, and why did you make a transition over to just the quilt industry?
I've got many years in the fashion fabric business, and from there I was in interior design. And in all those years, I was still sort of doing the freelancing with regards to quilting and patchwork. Mm. It was just always something I loved to do. Mm. And then finally, in 2011, I had started putting up my patterns a couple of years prior to that, and I kind of felt that, you know what, we're not getting any younger, and I need to do so much more with this quilting, and if I don't decide to do this full time, I'm not going to get it done. So I just walked in one day, and after much decision and thought-provoking conversations, I just told my boss that particular day, I'm leaving and I'm going, you know, I'm just attacking quilting full time, and I have never turned back. It's been fabulous.
Yeah, I did. I think we may have even talked about this once, but I did kind of the same thing. It's like, hey, I need to go do this. You know, I have more passion for this than what I was doing.
Oh, much more passion for this. I'm happy. Yeah. Since 2011, I am happy. I'm in my happy place.
Yes. So what kind of projects do you like to design? Tell me a little bit about that.
A lot of my designs will work around applique, wool applique. I've been doing quite a bit less. Actually, in Houston, I had a lot of designs that were done in homespun cottons. Mm-hmm. I like to do patterns that introduce several techniques within the same pattern. I find that if a shop is going to teach a class, they may have a lot of students that haven't done a lot of different techniques, so I may have a table runner, and I do a lot of smaller projects. Mm-hmm. But that table runner pattern may do a little applique. It could do a little quilt as you go. It just may have it may have some paper piecing. I like to mix different techniques into that same project in small portions.
So how do you like working with wool?
Oh, if I could eat wool, I would. Wool is absolutely delicious in every way. And then, of course, working with wool threads with your wool, it's like sewing with butter.
Yeah. Do you do all wool projects, or do you prefer to mix them?
I do some all wool, but I really, really enjoy adding wool applique to my cotton foundations for my quilts, lap quilts. I just love that.
Yeah. It's also a little more cost effective, right? Because the wool is usually pricier.
Oh, it really is. If I'm doing a class, a workshop, or, doing a kit, I'll sometimes try to use cotton for the background, or I'll sometimes use a wool that is not felted, a heavier garment wool that can be a background. That works really, really well, or a thick flannel for the background, and then just use applique. Your applique can be the felted wool. That cuts down on the expense a little bit as well.
So what type, tell me the type of applique you like, because you have a particular technique you like to do.
I do all kinds of applique, but over the last couple of years, I've been really diving into what I call my applique simple, which kind of puts a little bit of a French term onto like simple applique. Mm-hmm. And I find that one of the techniques that we have a problem with teaching beginners today is applique. They're anxious about needle turn. They're anxious about getting that refined look. The applique cannot, you know, you need a project that's going to be very forgiving for the beginner. Mm-hmm. So with applique simple, I trace my applique shapes on the back of a very, very lightweight interfacing. I have it in white and charcoal. And then I sew that on the right side, you know, on the right side of my applique fabric, all the way around without leaving any space for turning. When it's finished, you just snip an X in the back of that interfacing, flip it around that applique shape. It just pulls all of those raw edges right behind it, press it, pin it to your applique background, and then just hand stitch or machine stitch all the way around. You've gotten rid of all of those raw edges. There's no needle turn. And I find that if we can find a way like that to introduce somebody to applique, and they'll see the satisfaction that they're getting from the applique, then they will advance to needle turn and other techniques in applique. But applique simple is absolutely fantastic.
So when you're doing that, Bill, one thing that can you give me a tip or tell me like sort of how to finesse this? Because you know when you turn it inside out, so now you know you have to press it so that you don't see that interfacing underneath along the edge. Is there a way to do that? You know, because sometimes people get the interfacing still showing on the edge.
You need to get, you know, it's like, you know, you're making bread. You've got to get your hands in there, your fingers in there. You've got to work it a little bit. So what I do is if I feel that a little bit of the interfacing may be showing around a certain edge, I'll just finger roll the fabric out over that little bit of the interfacing and press it. Mm-hmm. And it's just really just rolling it out and pressing it again, just a smidgen to cover. And I find that if you do that, it works really well. Now, I use two colors, so I'll use the white interfacing for like a really light or white applique, but the charcoal one is the one I go with mostly, and it really marries really well with just most all colors of fabric.
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize that there was charcoal color. I don't know what's wrong with me. I only know about the white or the off-white, you know. That would make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, there's the white, the off-white, the black, but the charcoal is just a softer. You know what? I have to send you a package so you can see the charcoal, what I use, and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. You know, that just makes a whole lot of sense because particularly if you're using darker fabrics or, you know, just a lot of fabrics would probably be helped by having that darker edge so you don't see it. Perfect. You're so smart, Bill.
You definitely need the darker. Now, before I learned about this interfacing, I used to go through twice as much fabric because I would put my applique fabric right side together, sew all the way around, and then the backing and my top were the same fabric, but that was kind of a waste of nice print.
Yeah. You want to use, and also it's a little thicker if you do it that way.
And it's a little thicker. You're right. It's a little thicker.
Yeah. So what is your favorite tool that, you know, like a tool that you just can't live without?
Oh, there are, you know, there are so many that I love, but the two that really comes to mind immediately are my thread snips, and I have them at every station where I'm going to be sewing. You will find them all over the place. Thread snips, they're small, they're compact. But my most important one is my self-adhesive, the little finger, the leather self-sticking thimbo. Those little dots, I cannot live without those because I have to feel my fabric. And when I put a metal thimbo on my finger, I've lost the contact between me and my project. I can't feel through that metal. I need that little dot that, you know, I don't know about you, but I will always stick my finger in the exact same spot no matter what I'm sewing.
Yeah.
And that's where the little leather dot has to go, exactly.
I know. What is that? I mean, we have a lot of surface on our finger, and it will go, and I will hit the same spot. I am the same.
It's the same spot. I don't know what that's about, but it's true. The same spot.
Yeah. So what are you known for? I mean, when people think of you, Bill, like, or the, you know, what would they say is, this is what Bill does?
I think they would know. I'm a very huggy person, so when I meet people, you know, whether it's at the quilt market or in my classes, I find that I just love the connection with the person. You know, business is one thing, but I like that personal touch in no matter what I do. So if I'm going to a class, if I'm going to a workshop, if I'm going to market, to sell or to buy, mm-hmm. I'm known for my, I think I'm known for my friendliness, my hugging. Maybe that's the French culture also. I spent so many right. years there in Quebec. I mean, the Quebec, they hug everybody and you kiss twice. That's just the way it is. And and maybe that's what's rubbed off into my business. But I'm also very, very customer service oriented. I'm known that, you know, if someone sends me an email, it's replied to within one day. I do not reply to anything. Everything is replied to, no matter how simple it is or how complicated it is. So I think I'm known to be a people person.
Yeah, I would say I would agree with that. And an amazing designer. We're going to add that on there.
Thank you.
I know. I've been sitting here looking at your Posey Trio, which is a table runner. I'm really into table runners right now, Bill. So that is so pretty.
My favorite is table runners. Love it.
Oh, it's three great big flowers, and they're just very symmetrical, very pretty. I like that. It looks like they could have wool in the center, too.
That would look gorgeous in wool. Now, those are done in the Apley Sampler technique because, you know what, they're easier to turn. They're larger pieces, a great beginner project. But I've done that in moderns. I've done it in homespun. I've done it in traditional prints. And it looks really fabulous in any of those styles.
So online, Bill, we have only like 30 seconds. You have your website is Bill Locke with an E on the end, designs.com. And then can they find you on Facebook as well?
Actually, the new website is studiobilllock.com.
Oh,
that's where
okay.
they will find me. On Facebook, they can find me under just Bill Locke, which I use quite a lot. They can also find me Studio Bill Locke on Facebook. But just my regular personal Bill Locke is where all my customers, you know, going back to taking a personal, you know,
that's
making
right.
my business personal, that's where they
that's
go.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. Bill, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat. It's been great chatting with you, and I look forward to seeing you in Kansas City.
I'll see you there. We'll be right back,
Thank
folks.
You.
Issues of American Patchwork and Quilting a year delivered right to your door. Each issue is packed full of quilting patterns, how-to techniques, and tips and tricks from the editors and designers. And right now, we have a special deal for all of our podcast listeners. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/deal to subscribe and enter coupon code podcast at checkout to get 60% off your subscription. Find the link in our show notes. You don't want to miss out.
Make your next quilt project a piece of cake using cake mix recipes from Moda Fabrics. This unique triangle paper is designed to work in conjunction with Moda's 10-inch square and 5-inch square pre-cuts that make baking a layer cake or charm square quilt easier than ever. Each pad includes enough sheets for each piece in your pre-cut stack, including a few extras for practice, plus a few simple block and layout ideas. Just mix with one or two Moda layer cakes or charm packs and you're ready to start stitching. Pick up ingredients for cake and cupcake mix recipes at your local quilt shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. For this segment, I am super excited because I saw a book that came across my desk. You know, the different publishers send me books, and I had a book called Modern Memory Quilts come by. And I thought, well, this is interesting. You know, I like memory quilts because I love stories, and I like knowing what's going on. And so I opened it up and started looking through, and it's like, this is this is very different. Suzanne Paquette is the author, and she has really put together some different ways of thinking about pulling your memories and different designs she's putting together. We're trying to get hold of her here, so I'm just going to talk for one more second. Ah, I think she's here. Suzanne, are you there?
I am here. Hello. Hi, Pat.
Hello. Wonderful. I am just thrilled to have seen your book come across my desk, The Modern Memory Quilts, and then I knew I had to call you. So appreciate that you could jump in.
Great. Thanks so much.
You know, you live a pretty creative life, not just, you know, doing memory quilts, but your whole entire life is parts, different parts of your business are creative parts. How did you start getting interested in memory quilts?
Well, I've sewn for my entire life. My mom taught me to sew when I was 6 or 7, and then it quickly became my favorite pastime. I went to university for fashion design, and then I came across quilting actually through a friend of mine, Jacqueline Savo, who owns Sokolosh. We've been friends for a long time. And quilting sort of came into my realm sort of around the time that I learned more about what she was doing. And then around the time that I was pregnant, a friend gave me a copy of one of Denise Schmidt's books. And that's when I really fell in love and knew it was something I had to do. And I was a little bit surprised that I hadn't actually explored quilting before that, since I'd sewn so many other different things.
So did you make a baby quilt first? Is that?
Yeah, that's it. So exactly. Yeah. I was pregnant with my son.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty sentimental person. And so all these things were kind of swirling around me. And I think around the same time I'd seen some memory quilts, probably searching on the internet for something. And I knew instantly that I would want to save my son's clothes and make a memory quilt out of it. So in the end, that ended up actually being the very first quilt I made, was a memory quilt with his clothing and my husband's clothing.
Oh, that is really, you are very sentimental, aren't you? That's
I am. Yeah.
It's so lovely. It is so lovely. I'm not. And I just love reading and knowing people who are, because I'm like, I don't think like that. You know, I don't know that that would occur to me to even
right.
do. So it's now when you were collecting the fabric to do those two, you know, your husband's and your son's clothing together, did you do anything special? Like, did you sketch it out first? Did you know you wanted certain colors?
Yeah. So interestingly, the first quilt I made, because I made it with their clothing, especially my mm-hmm. son's clothing, I had been the one that had purchased most of the clothing. And
yeah.
Like most people, I have a tendency to like certain colors over others. So naturally the clothing I had selected all kind of went together. And of course, baby clothes, because they grow so fast, you acquire a lot of clothes that they grow very quickly. So I ended up just picking a few of my husband's pieces of clothing that he was no longer wearing that sort of coordinated with my son's clothing. And that's how I chose the palette for that first quilt.
So let's talk about, now you make, just for, I'm going to switch gears. So you also make memory quilts for other people?
Yeah, exactly. So after I made that first quilt, it was around the time that I decided that I wanted to sort of start up my own business again. And I thought that I would really enjoy doing making memory quilts for other people, partly because I enjoy the process so much. And I, you know, I love sewing and I was starting to really love quilting. But also prior to that, I worked for Cirque du Soleil for 12 years. And really a lot of my time there, I worked in the merchandising department, and a big part of my job was actually trying to recreate the memories of the show in different products that we would sell in the boutique. So it was around that idea again of really taking sort of intangible memories and putting them into a very tangible product. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that work. I really like taking something that's sort of ethereal and making it into something physical and real. So I feel like those two things really led me down the path to creating memory quilts for other people.
When I look through your book, one of the parts that really struck me, besides just the absolutely lovely stories that you told, you know, and how you brought us into the whole thing through your story, but just the designs. I mean, just looking at the designs, these are not things that you know, designs that are everyday. They are very unique. How did you approach these when you were putting the book together?
Thanks. So yeah, because I think my background is not in quilting, even though I've sewn for a long, long time. And I did in university, I learned how to pattern draft. I kind of jumped in with both feet with that first quilt. I designed the pattern, so I sketched it out first. And I didn't work in a block format. That was not sort of creating blocks was not something that was familiar to me. And I think also because I really tend to prefer asymmetrical design and designs with a lot of negative space, which is part of the reason I was really attracted to modern quilting. I ended up designing the pattern from a slightly different angle. And then I just found, although I appreciate other quilts that are block designs, it was sort of more natural for me to create this sort of, I work in sections often in my quilt versus blocks. And so that's how a lot of the patterns were built in the book.
I think it's great, too, because it gives a whole different feel to those memory pieces. And because it's now a book with patterns, people can follow it. So if they like it or if they want to just riff off of it a little bit, they have a base that you've provided.
That's exactly what I wanted to do with the book, that you could go and you could recreate the pattern exactly if you really like it, but you could also, like you said, use it as a jumping off point, which I think is a really key thing in making memory quilts, because the clothing is always a different size. There's a lot of different factors you have to take in consideration, and sometimes it's nice to be able to highlight those things rather than follow a very specific pattern.
So out of all the stories in there, is there one that sort of stands out that you can share, you know, a little bit behind the scenes of us, how it happened?
Sure. I mean, I love all the stories. That was really interesting for me in doing the interviews, is that everybody had something really different and unique to say. But one little behind the scenes thing I can share is that for the arabesque quilt for Tasha and Isaiah, Tasha's quite sentimental as well, and she also shows a lot of expression in her face. So when we went to do the photo shoot for the book, to shoot her and her son with their quilt, we decided to do a surprise reveal. So they came to the, fun. They came to the location. We set them all up. Vivian, the photographer, sort of sat them down and got them all positioned. And then we got them to close their eyes, and I draped the quilt over them, and then over their laps. And then we counted down on three, and they opened their eyes, and then Vivian just shot, like, in rapid succession a whole bunch of photos. And you can see in the book that we've captured a whole bunch of Tasha's different expressions. And for me, that's the epitome of memory quilting, that it really brings out so many different emotions in the person that we'll use and receive the quilt.
What is also fascinating that I noticed is that you have, like, a little collage, there's four pictures of the two of them, and they, you can tell they're mother and son. I mean, they are doing like the same expressions. It is so darling. You picked the best photos.
they're some of my favorite photos in the book, and we have like maybe, I don't know, at least four more I was hoping to put in, but of course there's space constraints and all of that. So
right. Oh, now what are a few tips for people about clothing that have never done this? You know, what do they need to know about using clothing that you've learned?
Right. So one thing about using clothing that's different from if you're using quilting cotton is the two of the key things are really controlling stretch in the clothing. A lot of people will use t-shirts in a memory quilt. There are different ways you can control that stretch, whether it's through using an interfacing, either fusible or non-fusible, or starching. But really proper preparation of those clothing pieces before you start cutting them and piecing them really makes life easier. So that's one thing I always sort of remind people to keep in mind.
What about you've incorporated like pockets and some dimensional things off of pieces, because a lot of children's clothes might have like floppy ears on something.
Right.
How do you handle those? Do you tack them down?
I do, and so it really depends on what the client wants. So in some cases, I will tack them down. In every circumstance, I always go through the clothing with the client, or if it's for myself, I'll go through the clothing and sort of make note of all the special little features that I might want to highlight and where they're located. Sometimes if a feature is located near a really bulky seam, unless I really, really want to use it, I might avoid it, because also managing your bulk and your seam allowances is another thing you want to be careful of. But I'll go out and I'll plan things, and so that I can also, when I'm cutting, remember to either highlight those things or make sure they're in the center of the piece or whatever. And then it's preparing it again and just keeping in mind that if it's a bulky area, I'll have to remember during quilting that I might quilt around it rather than trying to quilt through it and things like that. Yeah.
That's a good tip, because you don't always have to quilt like through an intersection or something. If you've got jeans bulk, you can, you know, plan your quilting so that it just is sort of in the open space. How convenient,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And a great tip from one of my, the long arm quilters that I work with, is that she puts just a little piece of masking tape over things you don't want to quilt over, so that as you're working at your machine, you know, it doesn't sort of get lost, and you sort of have that remembrance to, once you get to that part, to remember to avoid it and to go around it.
Ah, perfect. You know, I've never thought about that. I think I put a pin in it, but you know, that can get lost or stuck or fall out. You know, it's like,
that's or stab you. Yeah.
Right. Where did that go? So what are you currently working on yourself right now?
Yeah, so right now I'm starting to teach and do lectures that support with the different patterns that are in the book. So I have different workshops available, and also a trunk show where I talk a little bit more about the different stories behind the quilts in the book, and also a little bit about the techniques in memory quilting. And I'm also looking for, you know, I'm sort of working on ideas on how I can rethink the workshop experience, and especially for memory quilts, where it's such an emotional experience for a lot of people, that I have a few ideas that I'm working on around how to incorporate that into a workshop setting.
But that would be interesting, because people need a little hand-holding maybe to get started. But
absolutely.
You know, it's not something they're going to complete in class. So
That's it. It's just getting started. The first cut into the clothing, especially if it's baby clothing or even any clothing, quite frankly, when it's personal to you, that first onesie I cut of my son's, for sure.
Yeah.
Get
the tissue box.
Once you get through that, it's okay.
Suzanne, this has been so interesting and such great tips. Your book is amazing. I love it.
Thank you so much. So kind. Thank you.
So everybody can visit Suzanne at her website, which is atelier6design.com, and I have a link to that. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our listeners love a good deal. We have a special offer just for our podcast listeners. Get 50% off a downloadable pattern of your choice in our online shop. Visit apqshop.com, add a digital pattern to your cart, and enter coupon code podcast at checkout. Then get quilting. Visit our show notes for more.
Start at the beginning. Design your next quilt like the pros. Quilt designers Nancy Mahoney and Alice Blythe both use Electric Quilt 8 software to design their gorgeous quilts, and you can too. Get EQ8 and start designing just minutes after you purchase. Podcast listeners, take 20% off through May 31st, 2019 with code PODEQ8. That's PODEQ8. Get more info at electricquilt.com/APQ.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan. And, you know, it's always fun to hear about a quilter who is doing something interesting and different that we all need to know about. That's basically what it is. My girlfriend Sue told me that I needed to go out and look at this website, Woolly Mammoth, because Anna Bates was out there. She is videotaping her travels and her RV, and she made one of my patterns, and da 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 da. Eventually, I got out there, I looked, and now Anna's here to tell us about her wonderful adventures and her travels. So I appreciate you being able to do this, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm having a great time.
You know, my friend Sue has been following you, I don't know, for probably as long as you've been traveling and videoing. She just loves to watch where you are and see what you're doing. You have both a blog and a YouTube channel for your videos. How long have you been doing your blog?
I would say, I would have to guess, but probably at over 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And so then your traveling, though, is a little bit less than that, right, with the videos?
Right. We're going on third year now.
Okay. So when you write on your website, when you first started writing, was it just to document your quilting?
Yes, my quilting and my life. So, you know, it also had my cooking disasters. It had my children. You know, it had just life, my general life, including which, you know, a great percentage of it was quilting. So it had a lot of that, too.
So how did you come up with the name Woolly Mammoth?
Well, I am addicted to the wool fibers and just trying to find something that wasn't already taken. I kind of Googled because you could only, you know, you had to pick a name and finally came up with Woolly Mammoth, and it had to be spelt a certain way. So that's how we ended up with it.
Oh, it's really it's a fun thing. You remember it. That's the one thing, Anna. You remember your website name. So when you and your husband decided to start RVing, what, you know, like traveling a lot in your RV, what kind of went through your head about documenting that and sharing it with people?
Well, initially it was because I was so, you know, enamored in the quilting world, and I just couldn't imagine picking up another craft which would have been scrapbooking our travels. So I decided to just video, and then figuring out we've always been in a very small vehicle to travel with, and figuring out how we could both be involved without driving each other crazy or having something to do while on the road. So we came up with doing a travel and quilting video, and that way we can document for ourselves where we've been, and we can share with other stitchers where we've been.
Yeah, it is so fun. You're very comfortable. You and your husband are both very comfortable in front of the camera. Have you done that before?
No, not at all. We are not professionals at all, as some of our subscribers will tell you. I mean, when I get excited in a quilt shop, that camera starts moving a little too fast for people. But no, my husband was a cartographer, which is a map drawer. Mm-hmm. And I was a nurse.
Ah, so you were a people person.
Yeah.
Always
in front of people.
You like people, so.
Yeah, and you know, nursing is such a fabulous career. It's like teaching, where you have to make people comfortable because they're in a very challenging situation. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I was trained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably helps then on being on video, because you're used to sort of talking, and, you know, it's probably to people you don't know a lot, so you're comfortable there.
Right.
It shows. It's good. Are you RVing full time?
No. We are, most of the year we are in our town of Sisters, Oregon, and we belong to a little group of friends that travel around and camp together on short trips. And then we started taking a 1 to 2 to 3 month trip during the winter time, when we could travel and see the United States and take in some other quilt shows and shops and stitchers.
Yeah. So you also travel with your one of your pets, right?
Oh yeah, we only have one.
Oh, okay.
And he is in charge of us.
And he's not a little pet, is he? He's a fairly big dog.
Yeah, he's a 50-pound standard poodle. people like seeing him on our videos and on our Instagram and Facebook, and he loves, absolutely loves quilters.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good.
I think he can smell the fiber on them.
Right. He's got the nose for it. They have thread in there. I know. Mom, let's go meet them. That's like... So how often are you doing a video, and do you write and video on the same schedule?
No, I write currently my own personal blog goes out on Tuesdays and Thursdays under the woollymammoth.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesdays I write for Alex Anderson and Ricky Timms on The Quilt Show. And that is under Anna and G on the Road. And then the video doesn't have a schedule, but we usually try to get one out once a week at least. Sometimes during quilt shows, it'll be more like two or three times a week because I know people are waiting to see those.
Right.
But we're also enjoying our life. So, you know, we take a break.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, this isn't a full-time job for you. That you're retired and you're having fun. This is a fun thing. So
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You don't want to make it a job. So that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit of sharing, but your videos are a mix because I've been watching them. You will show just the locations that you're going. Are you editing them or is your husband?
Oh, my husband is. I have no clue how to do that. And he also has been composing some of the music on the video. He can play the guitar by ear, so he's quite adept at playing music. And so he chooses the music either from the YouTube library or he composes it himself.
Well, that's amazing. How cool is that?
Yeah,
so that's a fun thing that gives him a little bit of, you know, a purpose or a hobby, like, you know, to do on your travel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I told him one day, I said, you know, if I die, if you die, I can't do the videos because I don't know how to edit them. And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, if you die, we aren't doing the videos. He's not going to go to quilt shows and shop.
Yeah, going to quilt shows will stop. That will be the last one. You're funny. You two are funny. It's like now, when you stitch on the road, you take projects along because of, are you taking a sewing machine? Are you doing all handwork?
Both. Okay. Unfortunately, this year, the weather across the country has been not, a good thing for someone who wants to sew outside, and in this trailer we're in is so small that I have to set up my sewing machine out on a picnic table, and so I've not been able to do that. So all I'm doing is handwork right now.
Yeah, that's.
But I have a sewing machine with me.
You have it. Hoping for the sun to come out.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So when you're traveling, just. Do you plan where you're going? This is just sort of, you know, like, or do you just go and then you end up places and you stop? I mean, do you have like a plan for that month that you're gone?
Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. So the 2 years ago when we left, we played it by ear and we ended up in Nebraska and Wyoming and South Dakota. And I just kind of, today in this internet world, I could have the iPad and look ahead at what quilt shops are ahead, what quilt shows are going on, and then we could kind of veer that path if there was something that we also wanted to see hiking wise, because G likes to hike a lot. But otherwise, you know, it's a combination. It really is a combination.
Yeah. And when you stop, will you stay for like a week in one place, or is it vary greatly?
It varies greatly. It gets tiring as we get older to like pull up stakes every 4 days, 3 or 4 days. So we like to stay in an area at least a week, if not more, to really see what's there.
Mm-hmm. So you also sew on some of your videos. You do a little bit. You just share what you're working on. Do you do tutorials as well?
I do just on what I'm doing. I am not a designer. I am not a professional sewer. I am kind of like, what I always say is that I am the most important person in the quilting industry, and that is the customer.
Right.
And so I do make all the mistakes, have all the challenges, and I show those. And if something's successful, I'm showing that too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Take all the glory as well. Right. Yeah. That's
correct. Because it's so far and few between.
So are you finding a lot of quilters when you reach camps?
Oh, I do. You know, it's I made this little banner that says quilt where you park it, that's in our back window. And that seems to attract quilters. You know, it's hanging in our window. So and then I look for shops that might, you know, we're in a 20-foot trailer, so we take breaks from each other. Gio go hiking with the dog, and I'll go to a local shop if they have an open stitch day. I'll go there and stitch, you know, because, you know, it's 24/7.
Yeah, right. You need a little, you know, your own personal space time, and you need to see other quilters. So, Anna, this has just been fabulous. I just love that you're doing this and that you're sharing. So much fun.
Yeah, one stitcher at a time, I'm going to connect the world. That's the way I feel.
You are on a roll to doing that, my friend. You certainly are.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you being able to come on here. People can visit you at Woolly with an IE mammoth.blogspot.com. And from there, you can find all the places that Anna writes at and find her YouTube videos and see her and her husband, G. And what's your dog's name?
Enzo.
Enzo. That's right. I'd forgotten. Perfect. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan. Visit me on Facebook. You can join my group at Quilt Along with Pat Sloan. And if you're doing UFOs, remember, visit the American Patchwork and Quilting's Facebook UFO group, which you can be inspired by what all is being finished. It's incredible. I need to work on my personal UFO for the month. Once again, another quilt needs binding. The binding never seems to end here in my studio. I don't know what's with that. So we are gonna say goodbye and see you next time.
Hi all, and thanks for listening. If you love the American Patchwork and Quilting podcast, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to rate and review the show. It helps other quilters find us. Have a creative week.